We're learning Siman Resh Samach Aleph. The most important halacha here is Siv Dalad. That is the halacha of Aveda Midas. There's an idea. It appears in a number of Gemaras. Rosh Weiss tallies them for you and says there are five Gemaras that discuss Aveda Midas. The idea is Aveda Midas, Drasha, it says Asher Tovad, Prat, that if you ma'abed it yourself, the Chiyav Asher Aveda does not apply to an Aveda Midas. If someone deliberately throws something away or even just doesn't take care of it and treats it in such a way that he doesn't properly secure it, you don't have to return the aved. That much is clear.
Is it drasha, not just his mafkir it? I thought Pshat was like he's just mafkir.
Oh, we got that.
Okay.
So the mechaber and the ramah bring a machlokes rishonim, which is the center of the whole sugya around which everything else revolves. Machlokes is between the Rambam and some other rishonim against the Rosh and other rishonim. What is the halacha of Aveda Midas? Is it hefker or not? So the Rosh says that it is. Ramah brings Yeshon Aveda Midas Havi Hefker, Chalaka Gim Zacha. The Rambam says it is not hefker. The Rambam says you're potter from Ashaz Aveda. However, Osir Leroa Davarzeh Lita La'atma, the Mechaber says, Mechaber says him like the Rambam, you cannot take it for yourself. Tur is massing on the Rambam. He says, I don't know why not. Why can't you take it? You know, he threw it away. He's not taking care of it. So it is Hefker. But Yosef says, I don't understand what the Tur wants. The Rambam is right. That just because he's throwing it away or he's not taking care of it, who said it's Hefker? The bottom line is it's Machlokes, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch against Rosh and Ramah, whether an Aveda Midas is Hefker or not. Now, it's very unclear in the early Akhrarim, the later Akhrarim. There are many different discussions, approaches, try to understand what exactly this machlokas is. Why is it hefker? Why is it not hefker? Some achronim seem to learn that everyone really agrees that your mindset is a mindset of hefker, that you're being mafkerit, and the question just is a lumdish question, a technical question. Does this kind of hefker work? You didn't say hereza hefker, you didn't say you weren't mafker in front of shlosha or in front of echad. Rav Asher Weiss points out that the Bir HaGra, for example, the Bir HaGra, when he explains the Rambam, he says, the Rambam held that it says later in Hilchas Hefker that you can't have Hefker without Mafker b'fnei Echad or even Shloshim b'divrei Sofrim, so Hefker doesn't work. And the Ramah L'Shitaseh holds that Hefker b'Elvan Atmo is good also. It's Machlokes in Hilchas Hefker, how to be Mafker something. But the Bach says that he brings the Lashon in the Rambam, you don't have Hefker until you Mafker b'peh, until you have a verbal declaration, there's no Hefker. The Rambam held, even if your frame of mind is Hefker, you need a verbal declaration of Hefker. Rav Weiss doesn't understand. He says, even if there are such conditions, let's say the verbal declaration, that's only because Dvarim Shebalev, the halacha always doesn't take into account things that are in your lev. But if it's an umdana, if it's clear from context that you mean to be mafker, there's no question. Then there's nothing wrong. There's nothing left to do. If it's really clear from context that you mean to be mafker, then it's hefker. Nothing to talk about. So Rav Asher prefers the mahalach. The other achronim say, which is that the whole machlokas really is how to interpret what is your frame of mind. Do you mean to be mafkir or not? Machlokas gufa is whether your mindset is such that I'm completely giving up, I'm miyayish, I'm mafkir, whether I'm completely not interested, which makes it hefker, or your pshat is, I'm not taking care of it. So the Torah wasn't mechayev people to be meshuvah, but I'm not ready to be mafkir, I'm not really giving it up to legamri. This is what many achronim say. Many achronim also say that there are differences in the different cases. Of the five cases in the Gemara, some of the cases are mashma that mavur in the Gemara that they are hefker, some mavur that they're not hefker. The Gedolei Achronim, the Ktos, the Nesivos, the Machan Ephraim. The Achronim spend a lot of time asking kashas on each sheet from different Gemaras. So one of the approaches is to say it depends. There is no sweeping rule what is every Aveda Midas. It depends on the context. An Aveda Midas that it's clear that he doesn't want it, that he's not interested in it. Such an Aveda Midas is going to be hefker. Is going to be hefker. The Aveda Midas that's other Aveda Midas are Shailot. The Nesivos, for example, says at the Aveda Midas, where you put something in a place where it's going to be swept out, the people are not going to return it to you, and there's no chance you're ever going to get it back. You put something there, and then Avada, you're Miyayish Legamri, Miyayish or Hefker Legamri, it's completely out of your, you're completely writing it off, and that becomes Taka Hefker, you're allowed to keep it. Other Aveda Midas, where it's in Rishus Rabim, somebody might find it, somebody might return it to you, those types of situations are not Hefker, even though there's a Petur Hashava, because that's what the Torah said, that if you throw it away, if you're not taking care of it, even if you're not Miyayish, you have some hope of getting it back. It doesn't matter. The Torah is not Machiah, someone to Meshiv, and Sivis' language is he doesn't have to do more than you're doing. If you're not particular about securing it, he doesn't have to help you keep it secure. But it's not Hefker. You don't mean to be Mafker it, and you are not Hefker. And that's the approach of many Achronim. the classic case. Someone throws something in the garbage and you want to come by and take it out. So are you allowed to do that? Is he mafkir? Let's see, he changes his mind and now he wants to say, no, don't take it, I want it. So again, some achronim say, by throwing it in the garbage, that clearly is an act of hefker. He doesn't expect to ever see it back. He has no havmina that someone's going to take it out and return it to him. He wouldn't put it in the garbage if that was what he intended to do. Some achronim say that is definitely going to be hefker l'kuli alma. You're allowed to take things out of the garbage because at that point they become hefker gummer. Now, there is a very interesting machlokas among the contemporary poskim, which is one of the cases in the Gemara of Aveda Midas is the case of giving something to a child. The Gemara in Bava Basra talks about a case. Somebody wanted to buy oil from a shopkeeper. He sent his kid with a jar. As someone pointed out here, we have to bring our own bags for the grocery. Back then, they brought jars to the oil store so they could fill them up with oil. So he also gave the kid money. It's a separate child. I'm not going to get into that. But in terms of the jar, the Gemara says that the question is if the storekeeper took the jar, filled it up, and then gave the filled jar back to the kid, and the kid then smashed it or lost it on the way, is the shopkeeper in any way responsible? Obviously, if we assume that's what the owner wanted, then he's not responsible. If we assume that by sending the kid to the store, he meant give the jar to the kid and he'll bring it home, then of course he's not chayav. That's what the guy wanted. On the tzad, that's not what the guy wanted. The guy meant take it from the kid and send it back by a secure messenger, send it back properly, and he didn't do that. The question is the storekeeper liable? So the Gemara says, on the one hand, when you entrusted that jar to the kid, that's an aved midas. So on the one hand, the Gemara says you really should not be chayev, because aved midas is potter b'ashava. You have no chiyuvim to keep it safe. On the other hand, if the storekeeper picked up the jar and used it, at that point he becomes chayev as a shalosh l'midas, or wherever the chiyuv is, at that point he becomes chayev. So the Achronim point out, the Ktos and others all point out, obviously it's clear this is not hefker. If it would be hefker, there's no shalosh l'midas on hefker. You can't become chayev for handling something which is hefker. Insofar as the Gemara says that once the storekeeper picked up the jar, he becomes chayev, that clearly indicates that this aveda midas is not hefker. So al karchach, at least some types of aveda midas are not totally hefker. So Ktos brings that raya. Other achronim, everyone brings that raya as a raya that not all aveda midas is hefker. On the other hand, the question is, the Gemara does say that giving it to the katan is aveda midas. Maybe it's not hefker, but at least it has the status of aveda midas. So the question is, we discussed this a little bit last week when we discussed the question of yeyush by a katan. The question is, a katan loses his socks. He loses his swimming goggles. You recognize clearly the size, the style, the shape. These are from a katan. So the question is, last week we discussed whether the yeyush of the katan works. So here is another question. Let's say you say that the property belonged to the father. He never gave them to the kid. He simply gave them, he told the kid, take these to camp, wear them when you go swimming. But it's still the father's property. So the question is, do you have a chiyuv hashava? Yeyush of the katan doesn't work. It's not the katan's to begin with. It's the father's goggles, we'll say. Do you have a chiyuv hashava? Or do we say, maybe not? The Gemara in Bava Basra says, when you entrust property to a katan, that's aveda midas. You have no chiyuv to return it. So maybe anything you find that was the property of a katan, that was entrusted to a katan, there's no chiyuv hashava because it's all aveda midas. A kid's bicycle. So Rav Tishpitz, Mishpatei HaTorah, says that's a din. Anything that was in the possession of a katan, is automatically aveda midas by the father, and therefore it might not be hareyu shelo insofar as you've arrived from the Gemara that this kind of aveda midas is not hareyu shelo. I'll call upon him. It is an aveda midas, and there's no mitzvah hashava anymore. Other achronim, Rav Asher Weiss and others, say that no, absolutely not. They say aveda midas. The idea is when you do something which is unusual, which shows that you don't care about the thing, it's shelo kederach ha'olam. People normally take care of things, and you don't. You're showing that you don't care. So the Torah said that if you don't care, he doesn't have to be meishav either. However, something which is the derech ha'olam, and there's no option, there's no other way. You can't send a monitor to watch your kid all day when he has his stuff to pick up after him and make sure he doesn't lose anything. That's clearly the derech of the ha'olam, and you have no choice. And there's no act that you took which shows that you no longer care about the chayfetz. That's what shaykes aveda midas. In the case of the jar for the oil. You didn't have to send the jar to the kid. People didn't do that, I guess. You know, you did something reckless. You showed you don't care about the jar. But something which is the Efshar Balavachi, which that's the whole way of, that's the way the world works, that's not an Aveda Midas Bechlal. And there is a Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda. Yeah, I hear. Rosh Weiss, he says a similar thing. He says someone in his kail wanted to say that if a guy is in an airport and he has to go to the bathroom, so So he puts the suitcase down outside the math room, and he goes inside. That's an Aveda Midas. The security could take it, I guess. Anybody could walk off with it. That's Aveda Midas. And Lafi the Torah and the Ramah and the Rosh who say the Aveda Midas is Hefker, you can walk off. We can walk over to the suitcase and pick it up and keep it and walk off with it. Mm-hmm. Rav Asher says it's a toes gummer.
Not recommended, you know, in an airport to do that.
Yeah, maybe not, right. But did you pack your own bags?
Is Aveda Midas that the security guard go ahead and claim it?
He doesn't say exactly.
That you and I can walk over. Like, what shackles do we have to go and pick up this guy's suitcase?
I was wondering exactly, after reading the tshuva a little more carefully, exactly what he meant, but he did discuss this case. I don't remember if he specified because of the security or because of general
thieves.
He's
Derech HaNacha otherwise.
Derech HaNacha, but the point is it's insecure. So Rav Asher says, no, Rav Asher says, like, it's the same svari. He says that Aveda Midas is only when you do something which is unnecessary and shows that you don't care and it's not the Derech of the Olam. He says, the Derech of the Olam, I mean, most people probably, if they went to the bathroom, probably would ask someone to watch your suitcase, especially in an international flight with Israeli security, probably would say, would ask someone to not leave a bag unattended. But nevertheless, he says, Rav Asher says, Befrat, if there are svarim in the bag, you're not allowed to take it into the bathroom, maybe, kiss, patach, kiss, whatever. Maizi says, these cases are not Aveda Midas because this is normal, and this is Mukhrach, and this is Derech HaOlam.
And the people that say that it is Hefker, is that because they buy in on Sahadi, even though there's no type of recklessness, or it's like a Shlisa Shonar type of Sfar, that like it's Mufker because of the Matzah?
Well, again, everyone agrees, I don't think anyone says that if your wallet fell out of your pocket in the airport and now it's in a public place, that Shalisa shall know, right? That would be, I think, a regular Aveda, assuming it's Rabbi Israel. They're saying Aveda Midas. If you chose to put it in a place which is not secure, they're chosen, you're not going to. So they held apparently, that, like Rishmitz held the Gavi the Chavetzim of the Katan, that by choosing to put things in an insecure place, you're making Aveda Midas.
Somebody doesn't lock their doors in their car. You could drive off with them, maybe.
Right. I guess at some point it becomes kind of absurd. You have to say some kind of chiluk like this, right?
Only who left their keys
in New York
there.
If you don't put the club on.
Does the Gemara, by every case of Avedas, say what the halacha is, or doesn't clearly say the halacha is maybe Avedas?
Some of the Gemara say, some of them don't. So, for example,
and some clearly say you're allowed to keep it.
Right. So, for example, the Avram is mentioning that there are some cases where the Gemara is clearly allowed to keep it. The classic example is the case of Machnasha de Beidari, the Bizri. The Gemara talks about these little bits of matnas aniyim that are left in the field after the aniyim get whatever is cost effective, and it comes to a point, diminishing returns, where it's not worth the time to take it. In that case, the Gemara says, Lehed yarei lushalos. So the Poskim Taka ask on the Rambam, it's a Mefurusha Gemara that says, Yarei lushalos. The Machna Fran asks this question. The Machna Fran makes the same point. He says that even the Rambam also agrees that there are some cases where, like Rav Asher goes with this approach, or some cases where it's clear that it's clear from the Gemara that it's Reilu Shalom, and then their Masber that it's clear that the person, like we say in the case of the garbage, it's clear that you throw something into the garbage, you're being mafkirit, and you don't want it. And even though there it's not garbage, at some point it becomes so clear, I'm just not interested, and that's Hefker, they want to say even Lefi the Ram.
And then there's another case of Katan, which you said it's pretty... It's
pretty clear from it. Many Akharim say that it's not Hefker. It's Kamat Mefurush and Gemara.
Are there
that's
any
not
cases where it's not clear?
Rav Asher says that when he lists the five cases, he says there are five cases. This one is clear that way, that one's clear. The other three, I think he says, are more ambiguous.
I was wondering where they argue, because
right. So I saw Rav Shlomo Zafrani in his Shimur Mishpat. He discusses a very popular shaila. He talks about a case where the bottle caps of the soda have price tickets in them, and you find one of those bottles at the chasana with a winning ticket. Are you allowed to keep it? So yeah, he has various questions about. Post can discuss this question in different ways. So one of Rav Zafrani's points is that. Depends on how things are arranged. If the owners of the Eirua knew about these tickets, they put the bottles anyway. They didn't ask any waiters to secure the bottles and collect them. So clearly, by putting out these bottles, they're completely. He wants to call this Aveda Midas, and the kind of Aveda Midas which is completely hefker, because again, you can argue that maybe you expect people to show them to you, or maybe you expect people to keep track, especially if anybody notices that they want, but he comes on. I think that is called Aveda Midas. That's the kind of Aveda Midas, which is Harei Shalo. You have no expectation of ever finding them again, and you're mafkir them, and anyone who, and I think he wants to say Asvara, anyone who finds them could keep them. So I want to discuss one last case, a very interesting case, which comes up a lot, a very common Shaila. Today, you get class invitations, they have return cards with stamps. Sometimes organizations send you, if they're soliciting donations, they'll send you an envelope with a stamp, or they'll send you a book or something, or a free gift. So the post can discuss assuming you're not donating to the organization, and you're not going to be returning the envelope, you don't want to return the envelope, but you're not planning on making a donation to the organization, what's the status of these things they send you? So let's discuss primarily the case of the stamp. This case actually goes back to 19th century poskim, the Rosh Tshuvas in the Marsham, Rosh Shlomo Kluger, Maram Shek, and various tshuvas discussing this question. Rabbanim who got shilas, and they would often have postage paid envelopes, markin, which apparently means stamps, that the cut that the shoel would send. And the poskim discuss what is the responsibility of the recipient to with these stamps. If he responds and he sends his response and puts a stamp on, then that's obvious. But if he doesn't want to respond, what's he supposed to do with the stamp? So Rav Shlomo Kluger and Maram Shek, Sicily Ezer brings, have lines where they say that I don't really feel like responding to you. I think the Maram Shek was upset at the shoel for asking for, I think, exceeding his bounds of paskening things that he didn't have any business paskening beyond his competence. The Rosh Shlomo Kluger, I think, just said, I don't really want to answer you. However, there's I don't want to have any issue of Gezel on the stamp, so I'm sending back to you a response anyway. the Marsham, so the implication seems to be that to just keep the stamp is a problem of Gezel. Marsham goes the other way. The Marsham, in a letter, actually, the question asked to him by the Aderis, Marsham says that no, that you don't have to return the stamp, and he says, what am I supposed to do? He says, answer you if I don't feel like answering you. I'm not mochit. You can't force me to answer you just because you sent me a stamp. So I don't want to answer you. He says, Elamai, send back an empty letter. That's not me to stomach. What's the tell us of that? I mean, you don't gain anything by that. So he says, so you know what he's supposed to do is to keep this. So he says, hold on to the stamp. He says, Miyosto, if he agrees with Adaris, that you should just make a note of it, make a note.
Slow. What do you mean, hold on to the stamp?
So that Marsham is not clear what he wants you to do with the stamp. The Sicily Ezra I saw, when he brings the Marsham, he says, he says, you want to be Yotzei L'Chaladeyas, don't use the stamp and write it down that this stamp was sent to you by Reuven, available upon request. Yeah.
I thought to Marsham. Contract between you and the post office, not between you and the sender. When you go to a post office and you buy stamps, that's an agreement between you and the post office. If I provide you with this coupon, you'll mail it. It's not an agreement between me and the previous guy. It's
okay.
Between me and the post office.
And therefore, you would argue that halacha should be what then?
Give it to the post office. I mean, or keep it to yourself.
That's an interesting point, right?
You know, it's not an agreement between you.
So that's an interesting point. If you would view it like a voucher for a store or something, you can argue it. So, like, nice that he paid for it, and at that point,
it's terrible. That's something that can't be owned.
What?
That's something that can't be owned.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? Would a stamp be called Gufa Mammon, Legabe, the different types of halachas that are taller than Gufa Mammon? We discussed this a year or two ago. We discussed whether
a dollar bill when it's on the gold standard. I mean,
even dollar bills, it's a major shayla l'poskim.
That it can't be owned? No.
Everyone agrees. Right, so there are those who look at it like a shtar chov, against the government.
You can't take it from you.
Right, so you're arguing that even if Gedalia is right, that it's that it's a contract between you and the government, but it's like a schus that was owned by the customer. He paid for it. It's certainly transferable. Some things are not. So that's, anyway, we're out of time for this, but that's a discussion in the background.